You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
The Around the NFL podcast knows the NFL AI overlords put two games on tonight to annoy Mark.
Welcome to another edition of Around the NFL. I am Dan Hansis, got Mark Sessler here, got Greg Rosenthal, and yes, two Monday Night Football games, a source of annoyance, sure. But then the games unfold, and I have to say, and I'm curious your thoughts, Mark, that was the most fun I've had watching football this year because of the two games, the quality, the uniqueness of them, the endings for both, the plot lines. This probably means we'll have two Monday Night Football games for the rest of time now because the NFL will think this can happen every week, but I really had a great time watching football tonight, and now we get to talk about it, which is cool as well.
Yeah, like I told Greg before we got on that I had a not even a hot take, just a take about what this evening, what it unraveled in terms of like a red carpet for the rest of our lives is. I think this set the table for this happening probably 8 weeks a year, if not every week, because it worked tonight. Let's be real. Like, I mean, I think you watch the end of this Giants game, and we'll get into it. And at that point, there was about two plus minutes left in the Dolphins game, which seemed out of reach. It's like, of course, one of these will kind of be sealed up. And then what unfurled from there was complete zaniness. It is an NFL schedule maker's, an NFL mastermind's dream. And I think the Dolphins game was one of the craziest endings I've witnessed all season.
I mean, this was a bolt of lightning. You could put two Monday night games on every Monday night for the next five seasons, and you might not get a Monday night like Tommy Cutlets going down the field after they coughed up a big lead, followed by a team gagging away a lead in a manner that literally hasn't been done this century at the exact same time. So these were two of the most memorable games of the season, and they happened to happen on the exact same night. I'm with you. There'll be more of these nights, but I don't think there'll be a night quite like this one because it was just too freaking crazy.
And, you know, I working with Zumwalt on the drop today, one of the other kind of angles I was going to take was that this was a mistake made by the AI bot. And they just said, all right, well, we didn't realize it until it's too late. We sent out the schedules, so let's just play two games. And did anyone else find it odd and maybe borderline disturbing that at halftime of these games, it was the same score, the same general game script, the same vibe with a underdog leading a favorite. It was almost like the simulation was exposed, Truman's show style. That changed in the second half. So that was also comforting to me.
Yes. And we do text with Zumwalt a little bit during these affairs when there are these island games. And you know, naturally, he was going nuts over DeVito, and I like it too. I mean, I'm from the tri-state area. I think it's a cool story, but like, there was a part of me. It's like, if all of this
Surrey.
Was, I am from multiple places, but I lived like I understand that, Dan, that you grew up in a like this hard hitting coal town where everyone like, you know, has a lung disease. But like we actually grew up like about 30 minutes away from each other. And like the DeVito thing, like I knew a billion people just like that, as did you. And it's like, to me, it was like, is this this is so surreal at the end of this season. That it feels like a like someone's come in and scripted large chunks of what we experienced with the NFL. And both of these things were happening tonight at once, because Will Levis also feels like he was pulled out of 1988, like WWF Paul Orndorff world. So I am I am kind of just like floating and wondering what's happening.
Yeah, so why don't we dive into it? And I find myself like actually feeling as someone who grew up in the same area as Tommy Cutlets, I almost feel like I'm missing out. Not only, I felt like this my whole life, to be honest with you, like growing up in a town that everyone was a Giants fan, I always felt like I was missing out. And once again, it just feels like it's just fun to be a Giants fan. Even when there are dark times, they just, you mix in these like moments, and they're having one right now with DeVito. And having to kind of download the whole Tommy DeVito situation to my wife on the couch today, and then my kids roll over. And they get invested in the game. Like it was so much fun. But we got to start. We got to start with the game that I had, because I was kind of distracted because my whole family was so into this DeVito situation. That game is 27-13. Of course, Dolphins and Titans. It's 27-13 with less than 5 minutes to play after two monumental gaffes. Turnovers by the Titans turned a tight game into one that Miami was kind of coasting to a win. And then things got super weird. Let's start with the final play of note.
Here, so he did not get out of bounds, apparently.
There's the difference, right? Didn't get out of bounds. The Titans were getting out of bounds on a regular basis in their situation, and they had the ball.
2 yards here to keep the dream game alive here. Tua in traffic. He'll be brought down in Tennessee. He's going to secure an incredible, improbable comeback victory and win for the road on the first time this year.
My goodness, Tua taken down. Was that Harold Landry with the sack?
Yes, that was.
The nail in the coffin for the Dolphins, who were 4 minutes and 34 seconds away with a two-score lead from taking over the top seed in the AFC. With four games to go. Instead, they watch it all fall apart as Tennessee goes touchdown, two-point conversion, three and out, touchdown, PAT, Dolphins drive stalls, final score 28-27 in one of the more improbable comebacks in the history of Monday Night Football. Greg, we could talk about either team here because the Dolphins obviously are the team that are still 9-4 and in great playoff position and still heavy favorites to win their division, so their season is not over here. But at the same time, for Miami, it's like you really want to see how the Dolphins react, what kind of stomach they have, how they move forward after a game that sucked a lot of out of their sails.
I mean, it is unconscionable. Like, there is no precedent. We got all the researchers out there trying to figure it out, but it's believed this is the biggest lead anyone's given up in that short a time to lose in regulation. You see all these stats out. It had been 767 straight games with a 14-point lead, 3 minutes to go, the team wins. But most of those, when you have the 14 minutes, you win in overtime. People are going back. The closest they can find is a 70s game with the Steelers and the Dolphins. And even that took a little longer during this comeback. And it happened because of Levis's huevos, like the plays he made. I know he didn't have a good night overall, but there's a crazy play that Tajay Spears makes, who was part of a very similar comeback for Tulane against USC in the final 5 minutes of a huge bowl game. That was insane. Then there was the best throw he had of the night to Westbrook Akina. The two-point conversion might change how coaches look at two-point conversions forevermore. They already were, but Mike Vrabel passed the down by eight going for two-point conversion test, which a lot of people all season long are like, why are they doing this? I don't understand why they're doing this. Them getting on the plane with a victory is why they did it. They hit the two so that they could win in regulation after the Dolphins messed up two offensive possessions. They tried to run it three times. They dropped back to pass on their third down. It ended up being a three and out after Tua made a bad decision to scramble. And then right back down the field to D-Hop, to Okonkwo. The defense just felt, as much as Tua looked frazzled and blew that ending sequence, and we can talk about how the Dolphins blew it, the fact that their defense had been so good all night and then just watched Levis and Hopkins go hero ball and Westbrook Akina and Spears, it was an amazing defensive collapse from a defense that had been playing so well over the last 2 months.
Yeah, because I go back to when like the DeAndre Hopkins decided to go to the Titans, and I know he didn't have a billion offers, but it was like, that feels like an odd fit. This team feels slightly out of it. They don't have a lot going on offense. He dominated tonight. They don't win that game without DeAndre Hopkins looking like the Hopkins from years ago. Tajay Spears was incredible. The Dolphins defense, which has been, you know, even without Jalen Phillips, like a total positive in the last couple of weeks, and a reason that you believe in them, completely collapsed. And part of me wonders, like, do players, just from a human angle, think when they're up by the way they're up historically, Greg, to your point that no one comes back in that situation?
Yes.
Did they kind of just collapse, and were they taken out of the game a little bit? I want to, you know, from a Dolphins angle real quick, like Tua had plenty of time and was put into a situation that if you're a, you know, a Tua believer, you want to see that happen for that argument. And if you're a Tua doubter, you want to see what happens for your side of that. I think the loss of Connor Williams early in the game mattered a lot in this. They didn't have Tron Armstead. We know what happens to Miami's offense when they don't have Tron Armstead. And Tyreek Hill was not present for large chunks of the game and not present at the end there. And it's like you take a few pieces away from the Dolphins and they look completely different. And this was a Titans defense that took them down at the end without Jeffrey Simmons. I mean, it was kind of just like an insane collection of events all at once, and some of the personnel situations on both sides don't make a lot of sense for how that happened. And it was kind of like a classic Mike Vrabel win when you didn't expect it would happen.
Yeah, and Tyreek Hill suffers the ankle injury early, look really bad, another hip drop tackle, and they're gonna obviously, I think, change the rules to protect these guys because it's so gnarly every time it happens. And he's out of the game for the rest of the half. He shows up in the third quarter and just like hits the ground running again, like, you know, looking like full cheetah with some big chunk plays. But he's kind of in and out of the lineup, including at the beginning of that final drive. And it's with Tua. Yeah. I mean, that final drive, you know, that's kind of money time. You got to find a way at home to stop the bleeding, to kind of pick up your team. And they just didn't seem to have it together. It was almost they were playing a little bit like a team that was shell-shocked by what happened there. And I know Bradley Chubb said after the game, according to our own Cameron Wolf, that, you know, we probably let our foot off the gas a little bit. And then when it was time to pick it back up, I think there was like a general sense of panic. And you could even in that, in the building, you could feel it at Hard Rock Stadium. There was just this like, wait, what just happened? Just going over it again. So like I said, with 4:34, there's a touchback. It's 27-13. Tennessee then goes 9 plays, 75 yards, ending with a Levis to D-Hop touchdown connection. They get the 2-point conversion, as Greg said, and that was an expert drive that, you know, they got out of bounds. It was just clinical. So Miami takes over, but they're still up 6 with 2:40 to play,
and it's just like get a couple 154 to go that touchdown. It's crazy.
Yeah, just get a couple first downs and it's over. And yet they go run a short run gain. Tennessee burns both timeouts, and then Tua scrambles. They're short of the sticks again, but Eichenberg gets called for a holding, which is critical because it allows the clock to stop. Tennessee gets to keep their final timeout in their pocket, and then there's the punt. So when Tennessee takes over and they go 64 yards in 4 plays, another D-Hop catch was the big play. They have 2 minutes and 14 to play. So that's the craziest thing, Greg, about all this is
they left too much time.
They left so much time, and we hear all these stats that we're hearing, like that this is one of the greatest comebacks ever. Like, they got the ball back in good position with good time, and then they took advantage of it. It wasn't even like a scramble to score that go-ahead touchdown. It went their way.
And there wasn't anything other than there was a Spears bobble that he turned into a nice gain to start the first drive. There wasn't anything fluky or weird. There were just incredibly ballsy throws by Levis. I mean, the touchdown throw, his composure to sort of open up the passing lane that he ends up finding Hopkins with was awesome. The throw before that was just beautiful. And he had an insane night where I can't remember a quarterback taking that many big hits early in the game. There was one after he had already taken a massive hit and they were checking his shoulder out on the sideline where he was running it on, I think it was a first and 10 at like the 12, and he's got a big runway and he's got three defenders in front of him. And he does a little hop, like he's kind of looking at the guys, like I'm going to get myself some momentum here to try to run you over on the goal line. And it didn't work. He just got blasted and he got knocked down at the 2. And this guy just plays with an incredible aggression. Some poor guy got chest bumped out of his shoes on the sideline. Some staffer for the Titans. Meanwhile, Tua absolutely came up small in that final drive. The taking that sack on that final play and the quick throw out. I know that's where the play call was probably going to go over to Achane, who kind of saved the play, but not really before. Like, I just didn't. He didn't seem like a quarterback who felt calm and knew what he was going to do in this situation.
Here's Tua on how things played out in the end.
We got to do a better job finishing the game with the time that we had while we had the ball, not allowing their opposing team's offense to get that opportunity to go down and potentially score. It's a team sport. Can't blame one side, but I would say from an offensive standpoint, there's things that we could have done a lot better to not have gone through what we've gone through tonight.
What a couple of days for the Baltimore Ravens, because we've seen the Chiefs go down, the Jaguars go down, the Dolphins go down. They now hold a one-game lead in the AFC. They look like they should, too. I some of these losses, I can think of a couple in the past couple of weeks where it's like, oh, this is what the Dolphins playoff loss will look like to me. And I felt that way with a couple of these Lions defeats. It's like, oh, this is how they'll go down in January. It's like there's going to be this moment where we're left talking about a Dolphins team that, you know, in the final moments, like this is what they were in. This is how they were incomplete. And like, to me, it's like if they're missing a few people, they're just not the same team. And I think Mike McDaniel is an incredible coach and has done so much well out of the gate. But this was a total collapse. And a lot of it to me felt kind of neck up. Like we've all sort of talked about it. Like they just seem shell-shocked. They seem lost. They seem to not understand what was happening the final couple of minutes against a team that came in with 4 wins.
Right, Dan, I think we shouldn't lose for people that didn't listen what the first 3 quarters of this game were like, which was the worst offensive game in the Mike McDaniel era. So I think that's the combination of why we're being so hard on them. They didn't have a touchdown through 3 quarters offensively. They had a defensive touchdown, and they kept settling for field goals because they refused to run the ball at the goal line. It took 3 turnovers, 2 inside the 10, yeah, to get these points, where they only got punt return, you know, fumbles to get these points, because Tua was making a lot of bad decisions. He fell on one red zone play. He fumbled another with a bad snap, which wasn't all him, but it was a little on him. Like, ugh, it was just ugly.
I'm glad you said it first, Mark, because you know, I've tried to kind of hold my tongue a little bit on the Dolphins because I don't believe in them. I don't buy into them. I haven't felt that way about them all. I felt that way about them all year. And can they get hot and go nuclear and go through the AFC in January? It's certainly possible, because, listen, you've mentioned the Ravens. What a great day this was for the Ravens, and it was. But I'm watching that. We did the game rewatch on NFL Plus, which you could check out now, the Ravens' dramatic win over the Rams. I'm not overly, like, impressed by the Ravens either. I mean, this
didn't that feel like 2 good teams and 2 good quarterbacks playing well, and tonight did not feel like,
yeah,
that.
Well, yeah, that's true too. I don't mean to take away from the Ravens, but I'm just saying, like, who wants this conference, and who's the team that's going to step up and get it? Because I'm totally with you, Mark. Like, I've seen enough of kind of meltdowns and failures by this Dolphins team in this regular season that's been otherwise, you know, great, 9-4, to tell me that we're going to see some issues in January as well. Like, you know, make me eat my words, but I feel like this team is a pretender.
Well, yes, I agree.
The injury situation has been massive for them, and that has to be said. At one point,
everybody's
tonight,
got injuries, no, though, no, no, Greg. I, like, everybody.
I get it. But at one point, for most of tonight, they were down to one offensive lineman, one of their starters. So Robert Hunt's out. It's not just Armstead. Robert Hunt's out. Connor Williams is now out, maybe long-term. Armstead is out. Austin Jackson is the only one left, and he's getting beaten. Harold Landry had 5 QB hits in this game. Harold Landry's been playing great lately, coming off an ACL. He did not look like himself for the first half of the season, and he dominated this game. But it wasn't just that. Xavien Howard was in and out of this game. We talked about Tyreek in and out of this game. Javon Holland was out of this game, injured before it. I mean, I think they were missing 5 starters coming into it. I'm just saying, like, when it rains, it pours, and they had a couple things, especially on the offensive line, that it is not helping them.
I'm glad you brought it up, because that's important. And, if Tyreek Hill's 100%, does this game end this way? I don't know if it does. But to win the Super Bowl, the teams that win the Super Bowl, they are the ones that fight through it. This is a long season. This is a hard season. It's December now. It's been a grind for all these teams. And the teams that can manage these bumps in the road and these injuries, I just need to see more kind of mental toughness from the Dolphins. And if it hasn't shown up by December 11th, I'm not sure when it will, but they still have time to pull it together. And they're still in first place, and they got a nice lead over the Bills. But you want to talk about another team that had a great Monday night? The Buffalo Bills are saying, we just got the biggest win of our season. The Dolphins just gagged away a Monday night game at home. We get that team in week 18, and now we just need like a couple more things to fall our way, and we might steal this division. So this is, in terms of like losses, this is about as bad as it gets in terms of going from the number one seed and being in the driver's seat to everything being up in the air. So we're going to learn a lot about the Dolphins in the next few weeks.
I think this one hurts more because of how it ended, but also because it felt like Tua, to me, was one of their biggest problems. I know the defense collapsed late, but the defense played, they didn't have Jalen Phillips. They didn't have, who's the other safety that was out? Holland. I think they played well, but Tua was struggling throughout the game. And that, to me, is a very worrying sign.
Last word, Mark.
If you don't have Tyreek Hill, if anything like that lingers, if he's dealing with it feels like when he's hurt, he's still 100%. He's a weird player that way to me. But when he's simply not able to be on the field, they're not the same team. I mean, we kind of keep saying it over and over. They feel like I'm looking at the AFC right now real quick. Like, you've got a Jaguars team that has a banged up quarterback, although it didn't look that way entirely. A fifth place Browns team that's played with 4 different starters at this point. A Steelers team without their starter. A Colts team without their starter. It's like the whole AFC is going through this. But that doesn't matter. A lot of them are like flotsam and jetsam and down below. The Dolphins are sitting there. They were our number one seed for a bit. And if like you take 1 or 2 pieces away from them, they float away. And I lack a little bit of trust, Dan, to echo what you said, to echo what I said before, to echo what you said and I said.
Love the echo effect. James Palmer, the dude, love James Palmer here at NFL Media. He notes that the broadcast noted teams had lost 767 straight games when down 14 in the final 3 minutes. And that ended tonight. The AFC is drunk. All right. Let's take a break and get into the other one, because that one was like just as crazy in different ways. Football. Be right back.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by 3-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game, King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. Crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college? Because it ain't it.
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Officially 37 yards. The hold, the kick, the win for the Giants. And Tommy DeVito and Brian Daboll. They've won three straight.
Oh, man, that's Joe Buck with the call. This is a night, yes, again, twice in 1 week. That's pretty good. Tommy DeVito goes 4 for 4. I mean, it's crazy. We're talking up Tua as an MVP candidate, and then Tommy DeVito, this undrafted kid out of Don Bosco Prep in Northern Jersey, says this is how you handle end of game drive. You go 4 for 4, including a 32-yard pass to Wandell Robinson to set up Big Bone Randy Bullock at a 37-yard field goal as time expires, atoning for a miss earlier in the game. And the Giants nip the Packers, previously red-hot Packers, 24-22 at the Meadowlands. And what was, like I said, my whole life I've been jealous of Giants fans because it just seems fun. What a scene at MetLife Stadium. What a celebration. And a lot of it is like, you know how like Creed, the bad band, has become a meme this year and everyone's kind of ironically enjoying Creed and it's everywhere? That's kind of what this Tommy DeVito thing is in a way, like where everyone's ironically enjoying this guy who's not really much of a prospect, but they're winning with him. It's 3 in a row. And you have all the memes and the crazy family and the agent that looks like he's an extra from The Sopranos. But then look, watch this on YouTube. That is on the right is the agent who will probably be fired in less than 6 weeks. Tonight, I actually saw Tommy DeVito make big time plays in this game. And the stat line doesn't jump out at you, Greg, but big time plays that helped the Giants win this game. Like he was a part of winning the game more than he had been previously. And just like a fun, silly night and a bad loss for Green Bay.
Yeah, it's one of the things I love about backup quarterbacks now. They all can run. Like, there is no such thing as an immobile quarterback anymore. They literally don't exist. So in a worst-case scenario, and Tommy DeVito is way better than a worst-case scenario for a backup quarterback, he can put his foot in the ground and go. And he came into this game knowing, I am taking sacks at a higher rate than, like, Sam Howell on his worst day. I am taking sacks at a rate that is just absolutely insane, and I'm fumbling and all this, and I refuse to take sacks. And so when he wasn't seeing the open receiver quickly, which happened plenty, he was just kind of putting his foot in the ground and going, and it led to some pretty frustrating offense early. You were commenting on our text thread, just like, this is not fun to watch, but he was picking up 7-8 yards. He wasn't making a mistake. He wasn't turning the ball over. And in the second half, they were finding open receivers, and Wandell Robinson and Isaiah Hodgins made nice catches. That throw to Robinson, who ran a beautiful route. This is what this season needs to be about for the Giants. They're finding young players that can be part of their future. And DeVito is going to be part of their future, by the way. He might not be their starter next year. I don't expect that. But he might make it easier to move on from Daniel Jones and have him solid as a backup for a long time or whatever it's going to be. And seeing Hodgins like standing over the Packers defender and kind of flexing, and then the fast cut to Mr. DeVito and the agent giving him kisses on the cheek. I mean, that was from the script writer. That was straight. I couldn't believe this was happening.
It's very surreal to watch. It kind of, at one moment, like even in terms of physical bodies, like hitting Wandale Robinson at one point, it looked like it was like Jeff Hostetler throwing it downfield to Phil McConkey like 35, 40 years ago for the Giants. It just was a very strange evening. But I will say this, like, DeVito, his numbers don't look flashy, but here's what you want him to do is not make major mistakes. And he didn't. He was, what, 17 for 21? I think two of those incompletions came kind of right away. He was money down the stretch. He had a 126-yard run that showed off his speed. And it's an argument for Brian Daboll. In a season where he was losing, the argument in a big way, where you're wondering what Brian Daboll was about after winning Coach of the Year, it's like, this isn't someone you'd think someone could coach up and turn around and have a game like this and do what he did in the final couple of minutes and look the way he did. And it's just a completely improbable NFL narrative. It feels totally surreal to me, but so enjoyable. And I kind of think we're at this point now where every one of these games where an unlikely quarterback does what they do, like you're cutting away to the parents. And doesn't that just look like the most parental situation ever for DeVito, Dan? Like, I think you mentioned kind of this could have been you in another reality, like, you know, 15, 20 years from now.
Yeah, there's a resemblance between me and Tommy DeVito's father. A more prominent nose on him. I got the smaller, like, Irish nose. He's got the Italian honker. But, like, otherwise, there's definitely some blood there. He might be an uncle. It's certainly within the realm of possibility. You know, first of all, DeVito on the touchdown throw to Hodgins, he reached 16 miles per hour on the run, which is like a top five speed for a quarterback on a completion this season. The run that you mentioned, Mark, down to the goal line, which he might have gotten in on that. They got the touchdown anyway with Barkley. That was really, I mean, this guy is not like rec league basketball fast. Like, he's legitimately pro athlete fast, and he's also making $416,000 this year, which is pretty nice. But Daniel Jones on the injured list is making $46 million this year. So that is, I mean, it's crazy. And it's kind of a cruel irony for me because we all want to be right on the show when we go out on a limb. And I said, I don't want to fork the Giants when they were 1-8 or whatever. Because I said, they've already been through the worst of it. The schedule softens up. I think Dable's a good coach. They have to get better. If they don't blow that 99% game against the Jets, they are they're in the playoff mix in the NFC, as crazy as that sounds.
They are now.
They are.
They're on the fringes still.
They're they're literally one game out of the playoffs. I mean, granted, it's six teams there, I think, or five teams at 6-7. But that sort of blew my mind when they said that going into the game. They said, well, if they win this game, that knocks the Packers down to 6-7. They're only one back of the seven spot.
But good. I mean, good for Daboll. Obviously, a great story with DeVito, who we'll never buy, eggplant parmesan in that town ever again, because he's already stamped his legend. And now just kind of seeing he's playing with house money almost already in his career. And you just want to see where it goes from here. But what a fun scene. Now, the Packers side of it, Mark, like we and you've been as high on the Packers as anyone the last few weeks as they've risen, and with good reason, because they've been playing so well. I kind of want to kill them because they got to win this game. But at the same time, like, it was a bit of a weird energy that they went into on the road on Monday night. And then it felt like there was some magic in the air. While they didn't play at a high level and Love came down and the offense in general was discombobulated, they kind of ran into a little bit of a sneaky buzzsaw. I'm not going to put them out to pasture off this loss. Now, disagree with me. I'd love to hear it. Bad loss, but I still believe in the Packers. I think it was a rough night with a little magic in Northern Jersey.
I think it was just these NFL moments. There is energy to it. I understand that, like, you know, certain people, the Patrick Claibons of the world, want to believe it's just, you know, robots fighting against each other. But there is something that happens in these stadiums. And I just think about the noise in the Baltimore Stadium in the game we just reviewed today, and the way it felt tonight. There is just something going on where it's like, if you're pulled into that world, you're part of it. And I mean, I think the Packers have grown up so quickly that we forget where they were just 3 or 4 weeks ago and where Jordan Love was just 3 or 4 weeks ago. So I'm with you. I'm not out on them at all. Tonight happened, but you've got the Bucks at home. You go to Carolina after that. You go to a Vikings team that feels kind of floating away a little bit. And then you got the Bears. Those are four manageable games. I think you probably got to take care of three of those probably. But what we've seen from Green Bay, I mean, we were coming off of Matt LaFleur's, I think, two best coach games. Tonight, arrowed down on all that. But, like, it's not enough for me to think that the whole thing was a mirage. I think there's a lot to like with Green Bay in a really weak NFC with a bunch of pretenders vying for wild cards. So I'm not out on them either.
Yeah, Greg, this was a game where, like, unlike the Titans and the Dolphins looked like two teams kind of just blowing it back and forth. The Packers just looked like the better team for 2.5 quarters of this game and just kept making mistakes and just handing it to the Giants. You know, with the, they had 3 turnovers, that there was the interception by Love. There was, let me think. He had one interception. We had also, what was it? The 2 fumbles. They had like a punt return. Like the games were like copying each other on some level, but they kept setting the Giants up in good spots. Love had the fumble and had the interception, and the Giants weren't doing anything with it. I mean, the Giants had very little offense for 3 quarters, and the Packers would move the ball and then just blow open receivers. Love was just missing open receivers, and I thought Wink Martindale did a good job just sending pressure after pressure after pressure, and it made Love overthink it, and he was just like a step late almost every throw, and it was a rough, really 3.5 quarters for him until he got the ball back a couple times down 8 points and had 2 really good drives. One, they ended up settling for a field goal, and the next he made his 3 best throws of the night and ended up getting a go-ahead touchdown, and that finish by Love, for me, helped wipe away a lot of what we saw before, because if DeVito didn't come up with heroics, we'd be talking about how, yeah, it wasn't a great game for Love, but that he saved his best stuff for the fourth quarter.
Right. And, you know, the Giants, it should be stated that the Giants kind of had this game nearly salted away. They have a 1st and 10 at midfield with 4 minutes to play. Barkley bounces off right tackle, goes 34 yards. So they're set up inside the red zone, 1st and 10 with under 4 minutes to play with a 21-16 lead. But then he stumbles and fumbles the ball, which is an outrageous turn of events. He's barely fumbled his whole career. And then a great job by Valentine, who scoops it up and returns it 50 yards to the Giants 36. And then the Packers then march 36 yards on 9 plays for the go-ahead touchdown, and Love made big throws. I actually thought Heath had the touchdown, the great play at the pylon. I thought it should have been a touchdown before that too. I thought he got 2 feet down with possession of the ball. I was like, how is that not a touchdown? But they got it anyway. So you saw that, and missing the 2-point conversion. Man, the Ravens got the 2-point conversion on Sunday, and it saved their butt when the Rams went down the field. Here's what happens when you miss on that 2-point conversion, because it allowed Randy Bullock to beat them with the field goal when the defense couldn't get the stop. And I think I've seen some frustration from Packers fans out in the Twitterverse about how Joe Barry and the defense played that final drive too soft. Yes. Letting the Giants kind of, and that I kind of, this drives me crazy a lot. It happens almost every single week where it almost feels like the defenses are more worried about getting the clock to go down. And then all of a sudden you blink and that team's inside your territory. And it happened again here.
Yeah, it was bizarre. You're so worried about trying to keep them in bounds that they give up 2 straight, I think it was 7-yard plays to start it. And you were right about comparing DeVito and Tua there, because DeVito wasn't messing around. He got rid of the ball right at the back of his drop with those first couple throws. And with 1:30, which they had in timeouts, there was no need to hurry. And on the 4th play, he hits the big one, and then they sit on it. Like they had plenty of time. They were inside a 40-yard field goal with like 40 seconds to go. Cause that's the thing. You can happily take those 6-7 yard gains, and then you just have to pop one pass, and they did it. And again, I don't think we should underrate how well Wandell Robinson played in this game, because the routes he was running, he's coming off a torn ACL. He finishes with 6 for 79 on 7 targets, and also has a 32-yard run that set up their first score. Like those, that first score was all schemed up plays by Dable. And Robinson, he looks like he's a player. Like, I'm not saying he's going to be a number one receiver, but okay, there's one receiver we can have. We think we like Jalen Hyatt. Okay, like the Packers, maybe we have 2 young guys that are going to be part of a nice rotation moving forward.
You do get DeVito versus Jalen Hurts twice between now and the end of the season. He also plays the Rams.
I mean, the way the Eagles are playing? Would we be surprised if one or both of those games are competitive?
Right, and the Giants' defense, to be fair, it's played a lot better, including tonight, too, that it's giving them a chance to win these games.
I think they're a classic berserker with a very with one of the most interesting quarterback situations of the last 5 years. So I am suddenly plugged into watching the New York Giants.
I mean, we got berserkers all over the place. The Titans are a classic berserker. I think that's a team that could have another weird win here. Giants are a berserker. And the Bears have been playing like a berserker, too, with like a top five type of defense and a dangerous QB. Like, there is not much separating these playoff teams from the 4-5 win teams.
I mean, there's no I said to my wife, DeVito's agent, who looks like he's about 23. I said he looks like an extra in The Sopranos. That's too kind. He could be a great guy. I'm not trying to bury him, but he looks more like a guy from Entourage. And I said he better get a good night's sleep because he's got a lot of work to do tomorrow. Like the amount of money to be made for Tommy DeVito at this moment of time. I just hope that he's got his business affairs with the right individual. I have my doubts, but I will apologize if DeVito is minted by the end of the calendar year.
He does look a little bit to me like a cousin of Mad Dog Russo. If you go on your own time, go and examine it. Like if a cousin of Mad Dog Russo were dressed in all black, a gold chain and a black fedora, there's some Russo-esque. But you know,
it's like if Chris Russo was younger and it was Halloween and the Halloween party theme was a gangster party from the 1920s.
There you go.
If he doesn't have his name as like the title sponsor owner on a Ford dealership in New Jersey by next Tuesday, the agent's not doing his job.
You got to move. You got to move on. You got to get somebody else because you know what else is going to happen with Tommy. Probably his parents are going to get the phone call because they are his legal guardians in a lot of ways still. There's going to be a lot of actual like established agents being like, you got to lose. E from Entourage. We gotta be serious about this. So that will be a test of loyalty, and loyalty is a bit. I'll tell you what. I'm not Italian, but the Italian Americans that in New York, New Jersey, it's all about loyalty. Let's see if he is loyal to that guy.
Dan, let me ask you one question because I was talking with this about Zumwalt on our text. Like, they kept mentioning, and I get it. It's a very East Coast thing. I can already answer my own question a little bit, but it's like that. The DeVito family, that all these people are bringing food over to the house. And so in general, like you bring food over to the house of someone who's, you know, no one's able to cook because they've lost a close relative. And like, there's a lot of grieving and you don't want to make someone have to toil and cook for a bunch. So you bring food, or a baby's just been born. But it's like your son is one of the most successful New York sports stories of the last, you know, two or three decades, so we all bring you food. Is it just because we want to be part of it? I mean, it's not because you need us to cook for you.
I think that's a good, I think there's probably some of that because that it gives the excuse to go over to the DeVito house right now. But I also know that in Italian culture, food and the sharing of food is an expression of love and intimacy. Mm. So that's probably part of it too. There's something very warm about it. And I love it.
I know it's a cultural thing, but he's got to start getting antsy about, he's a 25-year-old living at home with his parents. I know there's the culture thing, but it's like, I don't know. It's got to be a tough spot. I mean, I remember I went back. I know he's in a much different place and everything's different. I remember spending that one freshman summer after I went away to college back at home, living at home. And I was like, oh man, I'm never going to do this again. This was a mistake. Why did I even come home for this one summer?
There are two types of people in the world. The people that cannot wait to get into their own apartment after college and the people that are no like great rush. I was actually more in the DeVito camp. I was out of the house, I think right at my 24th birthday. I think we moved into Hoboken, which is probably like where Tommy DeVito's dad is from, right around 24. And I didn't mind living at home. I didn't have any money. I mean, like it was
that's
a great
issue,
way.
Yeah.
And that's the thing with DeVito. Like that's what he's saying is like, I live rent free. I get my laundry done. I get amazing home cooking. Everyone's nice to me. They give me some space that I need. My bed is made for me. Like, it checks out. But Greg, I know a lot of people that are like that too, where it's like college is the demarcation line where I don't need to be at home ever again.
It's a great motivation to make that rent money, but more just like you want to be, you know, you want to feel free. You want to get out, but it is working for him. And I love it. It is the most fun Giants story that there has ever been.
Yeah. Well, those two, 42 and 46 are.
I'm just
fun.
Saying fun.
Yeah.
Just fun.
By the way,
it reminds me a little bit of Linsanity which I was in New York for. It's totally different, and yet it feels like it's of the same piece of Jeremy.
That is a
Lin's
good parallel. Like Dan and I just started working at NFL back then, and we were writing NFL.com articles about Linsanity for NFL.com, which makes no sense.
Football is completely different than basketball.
I remember we were at the Super Bowl when Linsanity ended. They got blown out when we were in Indy Super Bowl week, and it was kind of like the unofficial end. Let's give Tommy Cutlets the last word.
Did you have fireworks go off for a non-touchdown?
I'm not going to lie. That was the first time. I was like, I was on the verge of celebrating, on the verge of not. I was like, wasn't a touchdown, but we got to stay in.
The guy who launched the fireworks thought it was a touchdown.
I appreciate it for that. I appreciate the the belief.
He seems like a nice boy.
Shout out to Big Bone Randy, by the way, hitting that kick.
Anybody else think he was going to miss that?
Of course I did. Troy Aikman said what I think we were all thinking. It was like, he looks like he has a lot on his mind right now. Such a good call.
You can't be number 46 as a kicker. Especially, and also, like, listen, I empathize, you know, with Big Bone Randy. Like, you know, big guys, we got enough to worry about with our appearance, but when you wear number 46, it kind of just it just makes you look a little bit thicker. Mm. I think he's got to go down to a single digit.
Maybe he's leaning into it. You know, he's comfortable in his own body.
He's like the Lizzo of the NFL.
Did they run out of numbers or something? Speaking of Troy, that reminds me, when this game was less interesting, I was going to give Troy a lot of love for the rant he took, which I was absolutely feeling in my gut.
He was getting annoyed.
As the end of this first half was interminable, and this game started falling behind the pace of the Dolphins game down in Miami. I think we have that, Eric, don't we?
I mean, if it is out of bounds, it's ball at the 40. You've got no timeouts, but maybe with 13 seconds left, you try to get the ball downfield and get a spot.
The problem with all this is just make a call. You know, I mean, there's 13 seconds in the half. They're not, you know, just make a decision. And this is what stops all these games. And the officials, I know, they've been talked about every week, but this is ridiculous that we're watching right now. I mean, we see something, it takes 5 seconds, it takes them 5 minutes.
Troy knows. He's got no one to answer to. So he gets to call it like he sees it. And that's why they're the best. Finally, according to Next Gen Stats, before the first touchdown of the comeback for the Titans, the Dolphins had a 96.6% win probability in this game. So 0.4% for the Titans. That is the second most improbable comeback in the Next Gen Stats era, which started in 2016. Mark Sessler, do you know what is number one on the list?
I would guess, if I really had to, last year's Jets-Browns game that seems so absurd to me.
You're right. It was 0.3. That was the Joe Flacco game where the Jets were down 30-17. They got a bomb touchdown, onside kick recovery, Garrett Wilson touchdown to steal that game in Cleveland. That is week two of 2022. And then number three, the Vikings, week 15 of 2022. I think that's the 33-0 game. They had a 0.4% chance of coming back in that game, and they did. The Niners, and this one just escapes me, week 18, 2021, 0.4% also, and then the Titans back in week 10 of 2019. Fans of these franchises know exactly the game that I'm referring to, 0.5% chance. So,
and they did it in regulation. That's the thing with all these 767 numbers. That's all winning in overtime. I think they'll find out, but all indications are this has literally never happened to win in regulation.
Right. The Dolphins had, relatively speaking, plenty of time to go win the game because it happened so quickly. They did it with such ease. It was unbelievable. And I feel, although, you know, Jets fans never feel bad for the Dolphins.
Oh,
I love
enjoying
me.
This one. You were enjoying this one.
I love me some Handsome Hank. And Henry Hodgson commented on X, he's a diehard Dolphins fan, that he stayed up. Let me see. Hang on. Let me check something here.
It's a tough night.
What time is it in London?
Well, that game would have ended around 4:30 in the morning. Around 4:40 in the morning.
Wait, let's see what Siri's got this. Hang on. What time is it in London?
You don't believe me?
It's 5:49 a.m. in London, England.
She just has a little more charisma, Greg. No offense. Syria, you know. It's 5:49 right now. So yeah, he and that man is a power player, Mark, in all international dealings in the NFL and in the UK, and now he has to get up in the morning. So being a fan, sometimes it's a shot to the crotch, let's be honest.
Possibly the future commissioner. I mean, I would say he'd be in my top three list of legitimate humans that could be the commissioner. Right, currently lives, during the week at some points in the room above a pub in London. So I'm not sure what was going on at 4:30 in the morning in his world, but he could not have been pleased with the result.
All right, good way to close it. Let's get out of here. Nice Monday night. Get used to it, Mark.
I think normal. You're right. It's the future.
We will be back on Wednesday with the Connie Fox show. So please be there. And like I said, NFL Plus, check that out. Rams Ravens rewatch. We had a good time with that. Until then, heed the call.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.